Hi, we're so happy you're here, and we are so excited to tell you about an awesome wedding planning resource that we have created just for you.
In March of 2021, we launched the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, a digital course designed with you in mind. Any budget, any type of wedding, at any phase of wedding planning.
We spent a year creating this interactive course. It includes unlimited access, all of our templates, spreadsheets, timelines, checklists, and pro tips. Everything is downloadable and customizable, and we walk you through it step by step with video tutorials and screen shares.
We threw it all into this course. There's no way you won't get something out of it. We're so sure, we've included a 30-day money-back guarantee.
We're so excited to share this course with you and to help you plan your wedding our way.
So go to www.thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com for more information and to sign up and to purchase. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen. Learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello. Thank you so much for joining us today. I liked your little intro for me after last episode when I wasn't on it, by the way.
I meant to ask you about that. Well, this is out of sync, but that would be the body positivity episode, because I don't know when we're going to release this one, but I did do that. I was like, and I'm Christy Matthews. Yeah, I feel like you're a little bit like a journalist when you say
that.
I am
a little bit anchory, anchor woman.
Anchor woman, yeah.
But I think it throws people, it probably throws all the listeners more when you're not on the ep and I'm doing the whole thing, which happens rarely, but just as rarely as you doing it without me. But it's like, mm-hmm. since your voice is the first voice they hear every time, that's a little harder. We could roll over mine, but
they're like, oh, it's Christy.
Yeah. And then it's so obvious that Michelle's not there, but yours takes a minute and then you get them with the surprise that it's
I
just
try to
you.
Channel you when I'm doing it on my own. I really try to be you. Like,
no, you don't.
Christy Matthews.
My kids have been playing baseball. You know, those little league. I think I posted some on my stories, but it's probably over by the time this episode comes out. But
yeah, it only lasts 24 hours.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole season is probably over by the time this episode comes out. We're in the finals now. So there's been some really stressful for the parents games lately. Like all of us have aged like 10 years watching these 9-year-olds play. It's ridiculous. But my husband always comes late because he rushes from work and these games are like 2.5 hours long. So he gets like the last hour. And if I'm sitting there without him and cheering, I don't want to mess any kids up by saying like, run home or whatever when they're not supposed to. You know, sometimes the coach is like, don't run home. So I don't give directions anymore. So I just really like repeat things that other people yell, or I just say, come on, guys, you can do it. And my husband, last time he came to one, he was like, I could hear you from the parking lot. And he does an impression. I've never heard Lance do an impression of me ever. And he does this like pitch perfect, like, come on, guys, you can do it. And I just looked at him like, Oh, you're an actor now. You do impressions now. I didn't realize I was so, you know.
You're made to a very talented.
Made to imitate, yes.
Yeah.
He was like, I hear it in my sleep.
He hears you in his head.
Yeah.
He hears you all the time.
Now I'm all self-conscious. I'm just going to like clap next time at the game because.
You're like, you could do it in an accent and then really throw him off.
Sure.
And embarrass your son.
I'll work on my my good Jamaican Irish accent that I have. It just goes back and forth between the two.
Yeah. We're you know, Santiago, my son, is starting middle school next year. Oh God. He's starting middle school. He's going to be a big kid. We went to like the orientation yesterday, and in the gymnasium, you know, it's like a, mm-hmm. it's a big school. It's actually a really big school. And that, you know, they had like the principal and, you know, all the people there talking. And the principal's cool, but he talks really, really fast. And he's like, oh, you're going to learn. I talk really fast. I talk a lot, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not going to send you a lot of emails, but like, follow me on Twitter. He's like, follow me on Twitter. I post a lot of stuff to Twitter. You're going to want to go on Twitter, blah, 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 Twitter. And then he started on to the next subject. Right. And I was like, there's like, I don't know, 200 people there. My son's sitting right next to me. Right. And he's like, go on Twitter, blah, 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 Twitter, Twitter. And I was like, had my phone out, like waiting for him to say what his Twitter handle was. He didn't say it. And I was like, what's Amateur. Your Twitter handle? And he's like, and he looked, and everybody looked over at me, and he's like, what's that? I'm like, your Twitter handle, what is it? And Santiago looks at me and he's like, Mom, why did you interrupt him? Oh my God. Like, he was so embarrassed. And I'm like, well, he wants me to follow him on Twitter. Like, what is.
Yeah, you weren't the only one with your phone out trying to get it done.
And all of a sudden, I became this really old person. Like, I knew how my son was seeing me at that moment. Like, embarrassing.
Yeah, you're mortifying.
Like, what the fuck is she doing? And I was like, listen, that's not who I am, okay? I'm cool. I'm on Twitter.
You've been branded.
All right. I sound older now. Great. Yeah. Great. All right, fine, whatever. But I embarrassed him. But I'm like, whatever. Who cares? He talks too fast. He needs to be more, you know.
Yeah, give you the salient details. Let this be a lesson, Principal Skinner. Principal
Donahue. Or Doherty or whatever it is. So now I don't even know what his Twitter handle is. Yeah.
How are you supposed to know?
How am I supposed to know? Anyway. So yeah, that's, you know.
Anyway.
So how do we bring this back to weddings? Somebody's going to get pissed off that we're not talking about weddings.
I just looked at the timestamp. It's only been 6 minutes.
God.
See?
You know,
you critics. You get in our head. You critics with your criticism.
You critic, the one critic that went to post a review and said, can you just talk about weddings? Can you not talk? No. I literally, what that day I said, I went to acupuncture. I mean, okay, sorry. Any whoozles. So we have a guest today.
Who's been very patient.
Very patient and lovely and smiling the whole time and watching her on Skype. She's like, okay, when am I gonna... All right.
We knew she would be patient, though, because it took literally 19 separate individual dates and times and confirmations for us to get this set up. So if anyone, Casey's not going to be like, you know what? You guys are whack. I'm out, because she's waited so long to make this happen.
It is May, and this email thread started back in October, Casey. I was just looking back. Like, that's ridic.
And when we finally got it set for today, by the way, Michelle and I are texting about a million things all week. None of them are, like, what we're going to talk to you about, because in that thread, in the past however many months, we sort of talked about what we were going to talk about, but it got lost, and Michelle's texting me, because I usually write the outlines. And she's like, do we have an outline? And I was like, nope. And it was not followed by like, I'll do it tonight. I just could not yesterday. Like I was like, we can wing it.
We knew we wanted to talk to her, and we knew we'd seen your stuff online, and we're like, oh my God, we're going to talk about so much shit with her. It's going to be easy. But I literally was like, oh God, we don't have any outline. Like, I had to do it this morning. And whatever.
But to go back through the whole thread and be like, oh yeah, that was our original idea. It just, it's a testament actually to you, Casey, that we can tell we're on the same wavelength as you about the big stuff. Because if we have guests sometimes that need, you know, and it's not one way or the other, it's just they need it for how the interview process goes. And we're not professional journalists, you know,
whatsoever. Even.
Yeah. So it's like, sometimes they have to be pretty elaborate or detailed. And then there's others that once we get the ball rolling, it's just like you know, you can't stop it. But so we're already giving you credit without ever having actually spoken face to face or Skype to Skype. So we also need help pronouncing your last name. That's why we haven't said it yet.
Oh yeah. Cipriano.
Is that the first thing you're going to make me say is how to pronounce my last name?
Yeah.
Say it.
Just let us keep butchering it.
Cipriano.
Kypriano. I think it's Greek. Is it Greek?
Cipriano.
Okay, it's Greek. So it's not Cipriano? Cipriano. Mm-hmm. Kypriano. Kypriano.
You are...
Kypriano.
It ends in O-U. How is it ow? It's how not it? Ow.
It's not Italian though, ooh. Michelle.
What?
It's not Italian. Cipriano. So? You're saying it like that.
Cipriano. Cipriano.
Okay, give it to us.
Casey, say it.
Okay, it's Cipriano.
Cipriano.
Yeah.
No, Cipriano.
Say it again.
So when I married my husband, this was a big before I married my husband, when I met my husband, this was a big conversation because I saw it too and I was like, what the hell is that? How do you even begin to pronounce that name? I made fun of him. I told him it sounded like a Pokemon. We evolved him throughout the process. Like, it was a big deal. And then I had to write it off phonetically. We graduated together on the card so that the speaker could announce it. And yes, it was Cipriano, as in A-H-N-E-W at the end. So it's Cipriano.
Anu. Okay, Cipriano.
I said it right.
Mm-hmm. It was Cipriano. Close.
It was close. Mine.
Okay,
so with that, just say it again, then, and you do her blurb, and we'll do that part officially, and then that's all we got.
And then goodbye.
Casey Cipriano.
Okay.
Casey is a badass designer that is crazy passionate about creating jaw-dropping, personalized wedding experiences for couples and their guests. She owns Revelry and Heart, a custom design studio for couples that revel in their authenticity and crave design that evokes conversation. Welcome, Casey, to the pod. Hey.
Thank you.
Casey, where are you based?
I'm based in Raleigh, North Carolina, but I'm originally from New York. So I started the business in New York and then moved it down to North Carolina when I moved.
Raleigh. That's one of those words I always want to say, like Savannah, Raleigh.
Raleigh.
Okay. Right. And the experiences you're talking about and what you create is what most people would put under the like paper products, except that it's not paper most of the time.
Yeah. And I think it's because I offer digital services too. Like I do digital consultations and I provide digital graphics for people that want to design their own invitations, but with the help of a professional designer. It's kind of hard for me to just say, oh, I design invitations or I design stationery because it can fall in so many different categories. And then I also do gifts for people too. So if they're looking for a gift for their significant other for the day of, or, you know, maybe for their parents or their bridesmaids, groomsmen, all that stuff, that's not really under the quote unquote stationery category, but it's something in my wheelhouse.
So signage and like keepsakes, things like that, okay. Because printing on wood or metal or etching, I don't know, printing maybe is not the right word.
Right.
But if you do wood invitations, then is a gift like a wooden cigar box with somebody's name on it or something? Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. So custom stuff like that you would just ask them what do they want and then you show them how you can do it and you do it. Do you have an Etsy store?
I do have an Etsy store, but that's mostly for like my small items. So like I've got day of wedding cards if you're a bride and you want a card for your groom or your bride on your wedding day, or if you just want like a template that you can download and plug your hashtag in and print off to frame, like smaller stuff. But as far as custom stuff, that's all, you know, you're working directly through me for that.
So when you first reached out, we're talking about like branding really the wedding, right? Like creating this wedding aesthetic, branding your wedding. And I think that this is something that's we always talk about is customizing the wedding, right? And I think everybody wants to do that, but there's so many brains out there that maybe don't use that side of the brain, or maybe just are like, I don't even know how the hell I'm supposed to start doing that. Like, my intention is there, but like, I don't know how to do that. And even like the thought of it for some people is just like so overwhelming. Like, yeah, I like fucking, you know, Disneyland, but I don't want a Disneyland themed wedding. So, you know, like how to do that. And there's so many different tastes and styles and, you know, opinions, you know, just coming up with a theme. And almost a lot of people are like, I don't want a themed wedding, right. You know, like. Themed sounds kind of corny sometimes, or it's like, yes, I have a theme and this is easy for me because now I have like somewhere to focus.
But it seems like everyone does want, like you said, their wedding to be unique in some way without like reinventing the wheel and going down the Pinterest rabbit hole, because that can be exhausting and demoralizing. But then that while they want it to be unique or have some things that people consider memorable or an expression of that specific couple, we also get a lot of emails from brides and grooms and couples who are basically saying that they know they have a lot of decisions to make and they know they should have answers, and they know what they care about in terms of like, we want a great DJ, we don't care about flowers, but they're having a hard time with that first question of look, like, what do you want your wedding to look and feel like, which goes to design. And we've had brides email us and be like, you know, my mom wants to spend money on this, this, and this. And she's really like being so great and helpful, but I can't come up with great answers for her because I just, like, my partner and I just haven't figured out how we want this wedding to be visually. So how do you come in and help with something like that? Maybe, you know, even before they know what the venue is or the other bigger pieces.
Yeah, I mean, so I think a lot of couples get stuck initially on approaching it kind of from the wrong direction, and that's what really gets them tied up. So they're so focused on picking out one certain thing, whether that's, you know, their venue or their dress, if they've got a dress fixation, or their flowers, that they don't necessarily think about how that fits in the whole bigger picture. So what I like to do is, I like to be one of the first people that they talk to in terms of their wedding professionals. If they've got a wedding planner, then usually, you know, the wedding planner is part of that process. But I like to talk to them kind of before they even start putting things together, just because you can approach it so differently. So by getting to know my couples is really where I get every ounce of my inspiration. It's funny because some people do come to me and they know that they, you know, want something specific, and some of them just like, they just want it to be a reflection of themselves. And I think that those latter couples are the ones that are most interesting because we mash together the most unexpected things. So I ask them a bunch of questions to kind of get to know them and to kind of start to think about how they think about themselves. And I think it's really interesting the things that come out of those questions. So I just kind of, I ask them like, okay, have you been to a wedding before, and what has been something that's made a big impression on you from that wedding? You know, if you could pull anything from your experience, what was important to you that day? Was it the great food? Was it the great music? Was it, you know, the way that everything felt when you walked in the door? If it was the way things felt, how did it make you feel? Was it, you know, all romance and garden? Was it modern and sleek? Like, these are the kinds of things that start putting you in that design mindset. And then I tell people to get off the internet because when they go into Pinterest and they go into the internet and they start to look at all of these inspirational, I'm putting air quotes around that, websites, it really gets them very confused about what they want and then what the industry is kind of pushing that year or that couple of years on them. And my biggest thing, my mantra is that we follow hearts, not trends. So I don't care what any of the big wedding websites are putting out there that year. That has no, like, I don't know, no strength, no influence on what we're creating for you, because we're creating something that's based in your personality, because that's something that you won't get sick of. So I just start to ask them about, you know, where do you like to shop? What do you like to do? What are your hobbies? What are the things that are important to you as a couple? Do you do things together? Do you have phrases that you say to each other? Do you have, how did you guys meet? Where do you live? All these kinds of things are the things that bring out their personality as a couple. And then I can kind of pick up on things.
So, okay. So just based on what you said, if someone out there right now listening is not hiring a Casey, and they're on a limited budget and they need to brainstorm, those are all things they should write, like sit down and hammer out. Where do we like to shop? What is our cute little phrases we have for one another? Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that, by the way. Everybody has that. Most people have that little thing they say.
Yeah.
What else was it?
How did you meet? Where do you guys live? What are special things that you like to do together? If you've got songs that mean something to you, or if you've got poems or something that you've shared, that sort of thing.
And then you take all of that, and what do you do? I mean, Casey, what do you do with all of that? You just kind of start brainstorming things?
Yeah, I mean, if they've got a really cool meeting story, like we can integrate that somehow. If they've got something that they do together currently, maybe they're both musicians, like we can incorporate that somehow. Sometimes somebody's a writer that we can have them write something for, to be integrated into like a little quote or something on the back of their invitations or something like that. Or the way that they say things too, like the way that they speak to each other, we could incorporate their wording to be different than the traditional standard invitation wording, because maybe they don't say that, I don't know, maybe they don't say that they're inviting somebody to the honor of their presence for a perfect union, but maybe they say like, we're getting hitched, but you know what I mean? Like, you can kind of change the way that you word it that way. If you say that, like, we're doing the damn thing or something like that, it could be something fun. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And let me just clarify, you do mostly print materials or print, right? Or have you done any other like design elements for the wedding visuals other than, you know, what people see? Well, I guess you do signage. We said that, right? What other things have you done?
Well, I think it's interesting because once you kind of have this guide and this like lookbook for yourself, I guess you could say, it helps you pick out things like flowers. It helps you pick out things like a venue. You know, if you know that you're a casual musician couple, you're not going to be going to golf course to get married, or if you know you're getting married at a golf course, you want to try to fit your personality into that. What are some more what are some more refined aspects of your personality that you can showcase? So it kind of helps them. I'm not physically designing their floral arrangements or their dresses, but it does help you pick out things like, oh, I know that that's really traditional.
They could take whatever you've mocked up for them and then, or their lookbook or whatever it is, and bring it to their meeting with their florist.
Absolutely.
And be like, you know, this is what we're doing for signage. This is what our invitations look like. We want to kind of carry this through. How does this translate into florals?
Mm-hmm. And anything that they have picked out at that point before they come to me, I can kind of look at that and play off of that too. So it goes both ways. Whether they come to me in the process and they've got something picked out, I can kind of pick up on design details there. Or if they come to me first and we create sort of a look and feel around them, they can bring that to whoever's next and they can kind of see what they're about.
Yeah. And I worked with a couple once who was getting married in December, or the wedding was in December, which is kind of rare in Texas. And when she hired me, they wanted to do it in like 2 months, but there was money there. I'm not sure why short timeline, but a lot of money. But it was maybe one of the only couples that I've worked with that I can see an example of with what you're saying now, because initially they just said it's in winter. We kind of like the idea of like a winter wonderland-y, you know, and we like pale blue mixed in with whites rather than like Christmassy, more of a, you know, snowy blue sky kind of thing. And I was like, okay, winter wonderland. It's not like I've never heard that before. And thinking about their venue, how we could like use twinkle lights or what kind of flowers sort of look that they would fit that.
Right.
But they told me we want to meet with this stationer person, this invitation person who's everything's custom. And they told me they have this piece of art that is like their entire inspiration for their wedding.
Yeah.
And I was like, awesome. And, and so was, you know, the other vendor. She was like, that's so great. I love it when couples bring that. It's so obvious. And I'm not sure what we were expecting, but what the piece of art was actually like a postcard sized digital art. So it almost looked like a video game landscape.
Uh-huh.
And both of us were like, huh. And then it was after we saw that, that talking to them, they were like big time gamers. That's how they met, into like the whole like digital world, like avatar, mm-hmm. you know, role playing, all that stuff, which I know very little about. But suddenly that little postcard sized winter wonderland, you know, scape made sense. And it was like, it did lead us down this path for a lot of the other design choices, from like what color ink we used, you know, on the escort cards. It was like a perfect midnight blue, all because of this digital artwork that spoke to them. And I thought it was impressive how we were able, how they were able to have what they wanted out of this winter wedding without us like beating it, beating it to death, I guess, with like the theme elements. It was subtle, but it mattered to them. And it all came from this one thing.
I love that. And how much more personal is that than Winter Wonderland? You know what I mean? Because like you said, that wasn't the first time they had heard that, but that was probably the first time that you had seen that art piece and seen that kind of translated into a wedding aesthetic, you know?
Yeah. And they actually included a full screen print of that art on the back of every invitation with no words on it. And the idea, it was really thick cardstock, the idea being that like people could keep it if they wanted, like on their fridge or in a frame. And I thought, no one's going to keep that because it's not. But I was wrong, because all of their friends knew exactly what, you know, game or artwork or artist that came from. So I'm sure it is up in people's houses now or apartments, you know. It just was like I had to take my own opinions about things out and be like, this is what can trickle down into so many elements of this wedding, and it's important to them, and they get it, and so do their people. So it was a, you know, a lesson, I guess.
That's such a big thing about branding too. I mean, it's so funny because you know, I come from a history of working in marketing and working in branding, and so many people think that, you know, a logo is your brand, and it's not. It's all of that, how it makes you feel. And if you can translate that from more than even just a visual aspect, but, you know, like the colors, the way that you speak, the photography that's used, that's all part of that brand, the voice and tone you use. But I mean, when you get something that's an invitation that is so the couple without it being a physical picture of the couple, like, damn, I have done a good job. You know what I mean? Because it's so funny. People often, I don't want to say cop out, but to make something their own, they'll slap their name on it or slap their picture on it, and now it's personalized. But it's not really. I mean, you've really just exchanged one piece of information for any. I mean, it could be any couple getting married out there. But when you really start to dive into your interests and things that you've always loved, it makes such a big impact. And people can say, wow, this is so-and-so getting married, and I can totally see how they're really infusing themselves into this. And it's awesome. I mean, I have people tell me all the time, you know, oh, wedding invitations are a waste of money. They just go in the trash. But I also get my couples who are like, every single person commented on how us they were and how awesome they were. And you really brought our personality into our paper, and we really love you for that. So I think it's just really cool. I mean, it is a good springing point for the rest of your design inspiration too. I mean, it acts as your brand guide for yourself. And I hesitate so much to use the word branding when it comes to wedding, because it seems so corporate. Nobody wants to brand themselves. So I've tried to use the wedding aesthetic. It works a little bit better in the wedding industry, because but at the end of the day, it's the same thing. I mean, you're just bringing your personality into it.
It's like when you have a child, when you name that child, you really are branding.
Yeah.
You are. Okay. So I want to dive a little deeper. First, I want to ask you this, the invitations. So often, people are going to, again, because it's easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Invitations that are template online, you find them, it's freaking easy. Like print, you know, input the, oh, I like this design. Input the information, make revisions, click, order, they're sent to your house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's two things about that. One, it's easy. super, super convenient. And two, it's priced usually much lower.
Sure.
Than going to someone and getting, you know, custom invitations. So we have listeners that have budgets all over the gamut, okay? From like little to no budget to like sky's the limit. When you're designing an invitation for someone, when you're doing this service for someone from start to finish, I don't know if you have different tiers of services, mm-hmm. but I mean, what usually is the cost per invitation and how is that process? Do you just design it and let them go print it? I mean, or oftentimes maybe the invitation is not just on paper, like
right.
what's the range?
So my process is I typically tell people that it's usually for custom, it's 5 to 10% of your overall budget to do custom with me. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that basically gives them a guide, gives me a guide because, you know, if they're willing to spend more on the first impression of their wedding, they're probably willing to spend more on the rest of their wedding as well. Our custom invitation suites, like the base pricing does include, you know, your standard 3-piece paper suite. But if you're upgrading to a different print process, you know, you're upgrading to letterpress or engraved or raised ink invitations, if you're changing it to a wood invitation or an acrylic invitation or a metal invitation, all of those things are obviously going to affect the price. And I do have two sort of, I guess, tiers of services. One is that, you know, you have your full service custom designed invitation suite, and that can be a custom package from anything from your 3-piece standard invitation RSVP card and insert card to if you want to include liners or belly bands or any sort of direction cards or menus or day of signage, all that stuff. We build custom packages for you there. But then I also know that a lot of people want to be more unique but don't maybe have the budget for that full service package. So what I did do is I designed a custom wedding aesthetic package where you work with me in the consulting portion and I'll give you like font recommendations, color recommendations. I'll give, I'll design little spot illustrations for you. So maybe monograms or if they're flowers that are important to you, we can draw little flowers together and then give you those files and then you can use them to design your own stuff. And that's obviously more appealing to those template Etsy website sort of couples, but it's something that they can personalize, but obviously you can use it on whatever you want. So you can use it on your
How are they taking that though and making it themselves? Are they sending that to somebody on Etsy or are they just sending that to like a printer in their local where they live or
well
how
I
are
mean,
they doing that?
The stuff that's designed just for them, it's little spot illustrations I'm creating just for them. And then they can take it and upload it to whatever website they're printing.
Got
on.
It.
Yeah.
So you kind of give them for that consulting package or fee a design board or a jumping off point and then it's done and it's theirs and you've been paid and they can do whatever they want with it.
Exactly.
Working with other vendors or DIY stuff, self, you know, printing something.
Yeah.
So that seems like that it sounds like a great option. And I bet there's other vendors that would offer something like that, all, you know, in different places in the world for somebody, for a couple that can't hire an actual wedding designer for mm-hmm. the entire wedding, like to come to meetings with us. And that, I mean, that's expensive, especially if it's on top of a planner or if the planner is a designer, you know, the word
right.
designer usually means there's a fairly big price with it when it's just like wedding design. I'm going to be your wedding designer. Mm-hmm. So what you're offering is like a way to get started on that. Like, I've given you all the tools. Now
exactly.
fly out of the nest yourself. Like you can do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, that sounds like a great option, especially for people who are just, like I said, overwhelmed at the beginning of the process. And once they get their head around like, oh yeah, that is us. That is what we want it to look like.
Right.
Then they can hire vendors from there by using that same idea of yours.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought about this. Can I give you some info about a couple and give an example of maybe like cool stuff you could incorporate or give our listeners idea of how you could brainstorm?
Sure.
Is that cool?
Yeah, hit me
Are
with
you down?
It.
All right, I'm hitting you up. Here we go. You gonna take notes?
I don't know. I feel like the Jeopardy music needs to be playing in the background or something.
Isn't that Jeopardy?
Yeah, that's Jeopardy.
Okay. So, let's see. You ask for what? Like, what do they like to do for fun, hobbies? vacation stuff. How about that? Like,
yeah. Do you want me to pull up my whole question battery of questions that I ask people?
Okay. I'll see if I have the answers.
Okay.
And if not, I'll make them up.
Is this a real couple or are you making them up?
Oh, we're both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll ask all the nitty gritty details, you know, names, date, if there's a person that's hosting, time, place, all of that stuff. But in terms of getting the actual getting to know you, So I usually ask them their proposal story because I love to hear those just because I'm a hopeless romantic. And then I ask them after they've told me their proposal story, I ask them how they've met and a little bit more about their relationship. And that's usually, honestly, a little more insightful and not as pretty. And I get to get more personal details there. Like, it's not like, oh, he took me up on a mountain and proposed. It's like, oh, my dog got loose and he caught the dog. And then we know that there's a dog involved. So go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you, he proposed on the beach in Hawaii.
Okay.
He collected stones in the form and put them in the form of marry me on the beach.
Okay.
And then he brought me there during sunset. And Hawaii, because it's both of their favorite vacation spots. Like, they love to go to Hawaii.
Okay. But what about how did they meet?
They met online. They met on a dating website.
Okay. Anything funny that happened on their first date?
Michelle, you were not prepared.
I know, we're getting personal. I told you.
We both love wine, so we went to a nice restaurant and we're drinking lots of wine and had just really easy, great conversation. And we actually ended up both going to same university, and we both love traveling, and he was a pilot, so. And I traveled a lot, and so we both have that in common. So we talked a lot about that.
Okay. What are your favorite memories, or what are their favorite memories as a couple?
So they haven't been together a very long time. They've only been together a little over a year.
Okay.
But they've traveled a lot together already.
Okay. Where are they gone?
And they have a dog.
Okay.
And that's their baby. And he had the dog first, but, you know, the dog literally loves her more than the dog loves him now. And he's a big, beautiful dog. And that's their baby.
What is fur baby's name?
Kingsley.
Okay. I can't tell if you're making this up or thinking about it.
I'm making some of it up. I'm making some of it up because I don't want to give away anybody's personal information. But most of it is.
Okay. Yeah. You said that they traveled a lot in their year together. Yeah. What are their favorite destinations that they've gone to?
The one their favorite together is Hawaii.
Okay.
And that's where they just like, that's their favorite. But, she has lived in Paris. She lived in Paris for a really long time, actually. And, let's see, where else do they like to go? They both love to go to Europe a lot, but Hawaii is like the fave.
All right. Now, thinking about this wedding, if you thought about this wedding in terms of personifying it, is it somebody that would shop at Saks Fifth Avenue or would they shop at REI?
Yeah. Well, if it's only those two stores, it would be REI, but I do know favorite stores.
Okay. So a little bit adventurous. What's the favorite store?
It's not adventurous stores, but they both like J. Crew.
Okay.
And he also likes Banana Republic.
Okay. So a little preppy, a little more refined.
Yeah.
So I would assume then based off of that answer that they're a little more dressed to impress. They're a little more, I don't want to say refined again, but yeah, like a little more preppy, a little more refined. Well, classic.
So he is for sure. Okay. Very classic. And that's his style. But she is a little more modern, and she also has traveled a lot to like Africa for her work. And, you know, she likes bright colors.
Okay.
And she's more of a modern, but kind of, she likes to throw in little little unique things into her wardrobe, like a headband, like a, not a headband, but like a scarf she wears around her head that's like these really cool colors. And I think it's probably something she picked up in Africa.
Gotcha. All right. What does their home look like together?
So the home together is not something that they did together. Okay. Right now, literally, it's just like a placeholder. It's mostly IKEA furniture. But it's very tidy and it's very comfortable, and it feels good when you walk in. And there are owls in several places of the house.
Ah, owls. I like that. Uh-huh.
And the minute you walk in, there is a huge, the whole wall has this like built-in cases with clear glass doors, and they are full of wines from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they love wine.
Do they have a favorite wine?
They have several. They have several. In fact, they've already chosen the wine for the wedding, and they want to build the menu around the wines that they've chosen for the wedding.
Okay, I love that. So I would have to get the name of the wine, and then we would do all kinds of fun investigations and taste testing of said wine to get inspiration.
He likes red or white wine and Aperol spritzers also, and she loves Sauvignon Blanc and Rosé Champagne if they had to choose two faves.
Okay. So, aside from, you know, me asking about any color palettes that they already had in mind or patterns or illustrations or anything like that, I'm picking up on, like, they want a bright, modern sort of suite. I think an acrylic would work really well for this. You could do a clear acrylic with printed colors. You could do a colored acrylic with engraving on it. So you could do something like that to be a little unexpected. I'd also, like, try to definitely incorporate cork in some way, because you've got all of this wine inspiration flowing. So we can kind of just pick up on, like, little details like that. Owls, I would love to see how we could kind of figure out how to integrate owls somehow. I don't know if that's, you know, some... See, like, classic, you could do, like, some feather hand-drawn, like, feather elements in there somewhere. Or, I don't know, like... You have to kind of think about that.
So that's interesting, because I said owls, but you wouldn't literally put owls in the invitation, but something that's like a hint of owls.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good tip. Like, you don't have to be so literal.
Yes.
Like, you're saying use cork, not necessarily corks from wine or wine bottles, but cork as a medium.
Right. Or you could pick up the, you know, that green colored glass that is used on those red wine bottles. You could do something like that in an acrylic. That would look really cool. And then you have like a cork backing on it. Like, you really just pick up small little details, not so obvious, like you said, not so literal. That's kind of the key of tasteful design. I think a lot of people will be like, oh, well, you know, we like he's a pilot, so we're going to have airmail invitations. Like, not necessarily, you know what I mean? Like, it could be something a little more subtle and really taking, you know, what are the colors of his badge that he uses for piloting, or something like that, where you could just like take inspiration from it and not literally pose
or metal, right? From like an airplane, like an airplane is metal. Or like the seatbelt, you know, like material or something. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And as you start to talk about, like, as I bring up ideas, they bring up ideas, we bring those ideas together and we kind of build on stuff. And that's so, so key to me. I mean, I will tell you straight up, I would be nothing without my couples. All of this inspiration is coming directly from them. I can't design, you know, a wine bright acrylic invitation without knowing if that's going to be resonating with them. And that's why I don't do any pre-made stuff, just because there's so much pre-made stuff out there already. And why, like, how would it be any sort of personalized for somebody to pick up on unless I'm really talking to them and having that conversation with them?
Yeah. I mean, let's say you were going to do that dark green glass. I mean, you have to go out there and source that and have to find that and like figure out how to get, I mean, it only comes in so many shapes, right? Or,
right.
I mean, like, it's just like, That's a lot of work. That's very entailed.
And that's why when people say like, oh, well, what's the average pricing on stuff like that? I have no idea unless I go out there and start to investigate these things, you know. But what we do is we talk to people, we get ideas. I go out and I find these things for you and I come back. And if you've got a budget, let me know up front so that I make sure not to, you know, go crazy. But I can also kind of figure out what's going to work in that budget and that's going to pair well with what we talked about.
If, for example, that couple wanted, or you thought like there was this stone thing for the proposal, so we could do, you know, place cards that are actually lava stones with, you know, the white, your white name on them and like chalk, how they do in Hawaii. Would that be something you would present as like, I've done my research, this is what I think you should do? Or would you actually be mailing them a box of stones with the names on them? Like, would you see it through to the end in some cases?
Yeah, if they want me to handle everything, I absolutely can. I don't do hand calligraphy. I know that's not my specialty, but I've got people, you know, that I know are the people that write on those rocks or the people who write on banana leaves. Like, that's a big thing right now. So like, I'm not going to go and do things that I know aren't my specialty, but I've absolutely got the right people for the right job. And if they want me to put it all together for them and mail them ready to go, then we can do that.
It'd be part of the proposal that you send. Like, either we can do it this way or we can do it this way.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, depending on what the project is, you can work with people from anywhere unless it's something. I mean, are most of your clients local to where you live, or are you also offering services to all over the country? Or
not
the world?
At all. Internationally, I've had people in getting married and they're temporarily based in Italy reach out to me. And I, you know, shipping is the biggest concern at the end of the day for those full custom suites. I insure the crap out of everything to make sure that we're covered. There's signatures on everything to make sure we're covered. But yeah, I mean, everything ships, right? I mean, think about how we're a global economy. We're a global world. We ship everything back and forth all the time. So no, I would say most of my clients are not locally based. I just did some from California, and then I just did a Hawaii one, which is funny. We're talking about Hawaii. Just did Key West. I mean, that's coast to coast already. So, and that's just in the last 6 months. So it's definitely all over the map.
So the other thing I wanted to talk about, and it's probably my favorite. So Casey has a Facebook Live show, right? Weekly right now. You've paused it because it's wedding season and you're insane right now.
Yes.
But you have, it's called Wedding Wind Down, right? And basically you get on there, you're having your drink and you've got a subject and you're talking about it. And one of the episodes was, you know, wedding shaming. And that was my favorite. That was the one I was like, oh God, I love this. Like, you're going on and on and on. I'm like, girl, I hear you. But I wanted to talk about that specifically because what does it mean to you know, feel shamed, or you called it slut shaming, but you know, some people don't like
that.
Yeah,
what were you addressing in the industry from your side of it? Because we, like Michelle said, we both listened and we're like, we know, and we preach about that stuff too. You know, the grass isn't always greener. Don't beat yourself up trying to wedding planning competitions. You know, it's not a,
yeah, it's about comparing yourself to others. It's about letting other people's opinions weigh on your decisions for your wedding. You know, obviously there's a lot of social media. There's a lot of talk, whether it's on Pinterest, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on Instagram. There's inspiration everywhere. And then there's also the haters and the trolls on every single one of those platforms. So, you know, you've got the this is tacky. Some of the time, I'm in some wedding groups where that word is literally banned because people are using it so much and it doesn't actually contribute anything constructive to the conversation. There's no alternative.
The word tacky?
Yes. Yeah. So like if you can't, you know, explain why it's not working for that vision, you're probably just going to call it tacky. But I mean, so there's haters everywhere, and it's just kind of like putting your horse blinders on and making sure that you don't feel guilty about wanting what you want. You don't feel embarrassed about liking what you like, and you do exactly what speaks to your heart. You know what I mean? If, like you said before, if you love Disney, like, go for it. Incorporate those Disney elements. no, nobody wants anything to look like everything vomited all over their wedding. But at the same time, like, you can still, if that means something to you, you absolutely should incorporate it. And that can be at the level that whatever you want. I think that a lot of women fall into this mindset of, you know, having to play nice, and they don't want to indulge in themselves, and they want to put others first, and they want to make their parents happy, or they want to make their friends happy. They don't want to have their friends in ugly dresses and have them talk about their back. But like, at the end of the day, if they're really people that love and support you in your life, like, they're going to put up with it. You know, they're going to do whatever you ask them to do. And no, it might not be their favorite thing, but if you were your as good friends and family as you sounds like you are, I mean, hopefully you're not asking people to be part of your wedding that are not in a good relationship with you, they would do the exact same thing for you and you would be fine with it. So I think that it's a lot of just kind of trusting yourself and not feeling ashamed about it.
I think the biggest challenge with that I'm noticing is that when the couple is not paying for 100% of the wedding and their family parents typically are paying a lot, especially on top of it, if it's very cultural family, it's very challenging. It's very difficult. It's very hard for the couple because they want to make their mom, dad happy. But at the same time, they want to like stick to their authentic selves and let that come through in the wedding. And I know that is just like one of the huge challenges.
Absolutely. I know. So I think there are ways that, first of all, you should ask, you know, like, what if you're very concerned about maybe the ceremony, like, what mom, dad, aunt, uncle, whoever, what is something that is really important that you want us to incorporate and that we're not dismissing? And if that's something that you're willing to compromise on, then compromise on that. You know, maybe it is in a religious institution. Maybe it's not in the backyard. But you can still bring a lot of those maybe outdoor elements indoors and kind of find compromises there. Nobody wants to start World War III over something silly like that. Nobody wants to start such a huge family conflict. But you absolutely should still feel like it's your own in some way. And I think that there are ways to do that. You just have to find where you're willing to compromise, where your parents are willing to compromise, and meet in the middle somewhere.
A big part of that conversation you had on that one wind down was also sort of the negativity. And this is a problem with social media in general. Everyone's behind a critic behind a keyboard, you know. But if some, like, the negativity surrounding a wedding after it's already happened, or even people, you know, posting pictures, I know things go viral. Like, there was one thing that went viral of people posting pictures of like cheese that had been put out at a wedding, and someone was like, you know, during cocktail hour, like, literally cheese and crackers, and it was very simple. Right. And they posted pictures and these snarky comments about like, we travel all the way out here for a wedding and they just give us cheese and crackers, and it boils my blood just like it does Rude. Yours. And that's what you were talking about, was like, yeah. This one wedding had fake flowers and you sat on hay bales and it was in an actual barn, but that was what that couple did. Like, who are we to ever say, you know, as a guest or a vendor or professional, someone watching all this happen, like, oh, that was so this or that, or like, I can't even believe they did that. She changed 4 times. It was so over the top and stupid and blah, blah, blah. Like, stop it. Like, stop. It's not about you.
People forget that, you know, this is, you've got, ideally, right, one shot to do it the way you want to do it. And so if you want to do it 4 different outfits that day, and girl, like, that's your thing, go for it.
And on the flip side, if you can't afford that, that's okay too. Like, right. That's okay too.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I think as long as you're being true to yourself and you're not being disrespectful to anybody that might be, you know, helping you pay for the wedding or supporting your relationship, then you're good. I think a lot of people, especially women, like, they just don't want to, they don't ask, you know, they don't ask what might be something that they're willing, that their parents or whatever are willing to compromise on. And so they just feel like, oh, well, everything they say, I'm just going to go along with it, when that's not necessarily the case. I think a lot of parents want their kids to be happy. And I think I said, is that the one where I call the people who aren't like that loan sharks? I think that's that episode.
Yeah, where there's conditions to, like, we'll pay for your wedding, yeah, but you're going to do everything we want to do.
Yeah, and that's not right. I mean, I would honestly rather have a much smaller wedding and have it true to myself and not take that person's money if they're just going to sit there and dictate, you know, everything that their money has to be spent on. You don't take somebody out to dinner and tell them what they have to eat. So I think that that's rude. And
what a good point.
Right?
Hi, so, we're going to come to this lovely restaurant, but you are going to have the deviled eggs.
Right, exactly.
And a soda. That's it. Oh, yes, yes. Okay. Well, good, good, good. Casey, how are you feeling?
Good. I mean, when it comes down to it, right, I'm basically just about, like, learning about people and creating stuff that makes them feel like they're represented to their fullest potential in their wedding. Anything that I can do to help that process along, whether that's, you know, giving them that launching pad, that mood design board with the wedding aesthetic package, whether that's taking care of everything for them, full service. I that's what's most important to me, because I think there are so many people out there telling brides, grooms what they should and shouldn't be doing for their weddings, that I'm just not about that at all. There are no rules. At the end of the day, it's your wedding, it's your marriage, it's your relationship. Do it the way that you want to do it. I just feel like if you're not doing it the way you want to do it, that's when you have those regrets. And that's when you look back and you're like, oh, I wish I hadn't, you know, picked the theme that everybody had that year, because it felt like every other wedding that year. But if you make it your own, you know, it really feels like you're never going to look back on it and say, you know, like, oh, like, that was a stupid decision, because it meant something to you at some point. So,
yeah. Lovely. Beautiful. Thank you so much for being on the pod and talking to our listeners and giving them some nice tips and tricks for designing their wedding.
Sure.
And Casey's social media info will be on our show notes, as always.
Casey, throw them out so our editor can make sure and put that in the show notes.
So website is revelryandheart.com. I also own badassinvites.com because I couldn't pass up that URL opportunity.
Badass invites.
Yeah. And then so Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, all Revelry and Heart.
Awesome. Very good. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for having me. Please. This has been a pleasure. It's been worth the, 8 months of planning.
Yeah. And we'll get on wind down when it's back, up.
Yeah,
when
absolutely.
Wind up.
I want to do that again. I think starting, for me, fall isn't busy because that's when everybody's actually getting married. So maybe we can pick it back up fall, winter.
Perfect. For those of you that haven't heard this a million times, our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. Best way to reach us is our email, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. Twitter handle, TBWP podcast. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. And now we have a Facebook group that we're so excited about. We have been mentioning that for a while now. So please join us there. Facebook.com/groups/TBWPP. If you want to throw us $5 a month, we would be so, so, so appreciative on Patreon, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And also we are doing consulting. We are scheduling out for the rest of this year. So if you want some one-on-one time to chat with us about your wedding and dive a little bit deeper than we can just comment on Facebook or answer your emails, we are so happy to schedule that. So just email us for information about one-on-one consulting with one of us or both of us, and rate us on iTunes, please.
Oh, and you can call us and leave us a message. Okay, give us a call. That number is 415-723-1625. Operators are standing by.
No one is standing by, but we will check the
message.
No
one is standing by. All right. Thanks again, Casey, everybody. Happy planning. Christy, love you. Love your show.
Bye.